We're back on the Weird But Harmless podcast. Got Basil the asshole. and just Drew.
That's a me.
Hold up, nope. And we also have a returning guest. Joel, how are you doing?
Hello! No, happy Thanksgiving. Remember Jesus.
Anyways.
That skit has run its course.
It was funny, though, at the time.
So, what's going on, Drew?
Nothing.
How does it feel sitting in the spot of death right now?
It's pretty bad.
Could you talk like a normal human being, please?
Talk into the goddamn microphone so we can hear you.
Well, we have to, like, move it back and forth. Sitting in the spot of death, meaning between the two Majib assholes, yes. And I'm not meaning they're assholes. They're actually, they're assholes.
They're colons.
Yes. Basil does nothing but expel deadly waste 24/7. And he probably is.
It's not always that bad, but fuck, man.
No, it's always that
bad. I went to put the cat in the bathroom so it wouldn't make any noise. It came back in. The first thing I smelled as soon as I opened the door was the smell of just like, you know where the most poo probably gets is like in the fissure of your butthole? Like where it looks like a, you know, it looks like a balloon knot? Like this. That's where the fart is generating its power from, is the little shit particles.
And any female audience we had just went away.
There were no female audience.
You're probably 100% correct. I'm not going to say you aren't, but if we had one, it's gone now.
Hey, someone at the wedding walked up and told me that they listened to the podcast.
We got fans.
Yeah, fans.
That was Basil.
Will you talk normal into the fucking microphone?
Anyway, guys, yeah, how's it going?
Thank you.
See how that works? Pretty simple. Yeah, sorry, my anus is terrible this evening.
So, yeah, we got our youngest brother married off. That's Gunn.
So I guess if we're going by the youngest of y'all siblings got married, then the second youngest. Well, Ferris, I guess you're next.
Hey, we're going backwards. You're
going
up backwards. Next,
I'm next. Basil, you going to bring up
they
the rear?
They got to legalize it first.
The lifespan of the person fucking the horse is a lot longer than when they're getting fucked by the horse.
That's a good boy. Yeah. Ooh, Alexa's listening to our podcast.
Fuck Alexa.
And the U.S. government will now be here in about 10 minutes.
Alexa, look up big gaping asses.
Okay, good. Having a problem connecting to the internet. Okay, so I just got back from Turkey, and there was an election. And apparently, since I've been back for almost 3 weeks, there's still an election. So, that's what are your thoughts on how everything transpired?
This is just ridiculous. The whole thing is just tough to listen to, tough to watch. You got people on both sides, pundits on both sides, radicals on both sides claiming victory, claiming defeat. You should claim defeat. It's just hard to watch, man. And I got back on social media in the meantime, and I really regret it. It's terrible, man. It's just terrible. Everything is so politicized and charged, and the way people go about doing things, and their livelihoods are surrounded by it. And then you ever try to have a conversation with somebody like that, it's like, well, they're immediately affected your life and your happiness. I'm like, okay, maybe yours. Maybe yours. Maybe I just don't focus on it like you do. So thanks for not thinking that I have to focus on it like you do. That's a big part of it.
And then if you tell them you don't focus on it like that, they get mad. It's like, man.
I don't care, man.
Well, some people would say that, well, you have the privilege to not to care. I would say you have that privilege, too. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Doesn't affect you the same way, Ferris.
I have the right not to care. That's what kills me about people who go, well, if you don't like this country, you should leave. No. Stay. Do what you want. Have fun. Do whatever you want, as long as it doesn't affect me or my freedoms. That's the cool thing about being an American. I can do whatever I want. As long as I'm within the bounds of law and not affecting somebody else's freedoms, I can have the worst opinions about anything. I can do whatever I want. But as long as I'm not hurting you or your freedoms, yeah, cool. I'm allowed to have those opinions. Fuck you if you think any differently. If you think any differently, you think people should leave, you're a fucking fascist. Literally the definition of what a fascist is. Go fuck yourself. Amen.
Drew?
I got nothing. No, I agree with him.
That's because you're worthless.
So, here's the thing. I know you're used to sucking dick, so go up to the mic like you're about to give
it's
the best.
Angle, man. It's yes. the angle. I got to get this close to it.
There you go.
We're moving 75 miles.
Look, man, we're
us
poorly funded right now.
You're
so
very
we
poorly
have to
funded.
Just make
last time we were here,
we
had four mics. Now we have three.
No, we
this
never had
ridiculous.
Four mics.
We had four mics.
No, we never had four mics, ever.
We had four
Hold
mics.
Up.
Ever. Never.
We 100% had four mics.
Never had four mics.
There's,
not in the history
no
of the, not in the history
and
of the fucking
a
podcast.
Mic last time.
Okay, this is what we did do. We had the big snowball mic, and we all spoke into it.
No.
Yes, we did.
No, you're wrong.
Anyways, I'm going to take Ferris's word for it.
We cannot connect four mics.
You would, Tim. You would fucking take his word for it.
Well, he's a reliable person, unlike your ass.
No, my ass is pretty reliable.
I'd do it nothing.
Sweet burn, Scott. Sweet burn.
So I know this is not something Tim gives a shit about, but I want to see what you and dumbass Drew thought about it.
Thanks, man.
Okay, so have you been on the... Okay, not the NRA, not the Gun Owners of America, not the...
Bumble?
Not all this...
Been on Bumble?
Not all these super gun nut guys. Have you been to the Biden-Harris actual website and look at their proposals?
I haven't, but I have seen... Naturally, of course, it's going to come from slanted sides left to right. I'm right in front of it.
You're not.
All right, sorry. Anyways, but I have, and from what I've seen, they're proposing like a $200... I guess another tax stamp for any type of quote unquote assault weapon, another $200 stamp for any magazine capacity over like 10 rounds, something like that. I don't, whether that's true or not, I honestly don't know. I haven't looked at it, but if that's the case, I mean, that's going to suck.
Well, the funny thing about the internet is I can tell you exactly what's going on. Biden-Harris. All right, let's see.
Well, that's another thing that you've had a lot of politicians actually come up and say, this is what we're going to do. And not a whole lot of them have been able to. I mean, look at Obama. I mean, as far as his gun control measures, you know, what he ran on and what he actually did, you know, big difference.
You can make a case that Trump, just with bump stocks, I know there's not a lot, has done more against gun control or more against gun rights than Obama has.
That's true, yeah.
Granted, Obama wasn't fighting him. I mean.
Dramatic pause.
Fight him. Well, supposedly that's what it was, is like Obama, they have said that Obama did more for gun sales than almost any other president because of people were so scared he was going to take them before he was officially president.
Right.
Or, you know, something along those lines. Or his next term, they're going to get your guns. And people went out and bought, you know, I'm buying 17 ARs. I'm buying 55,000 rounds of ammo. The funny thing about that is, unless you live on top of a hill to where they can't get to you at any side, you're only going to burn through X amount of ammo. You might burn through 400 rounds of ammo if people are coming to get you. Like, if the government's coming to get my guns, I'm going to fight them all. You only can burn through so much when 70 people are surrounding you.
You know, you can only, depending on the gun and depending on the quality, like, how many rounds can you put through an AR before it starts warping?
Funny you say that, Ferris.
Okay.
Smith & Wesson has an article. I don't remember what website it was on. Obviously, it was a gun website. And they had one of their guns. It was just a plain Jane Smith & Wesson. They called it, at the time, it was called the Filthy 14. It was an AR that had only been taken apart and just oiled. That's it. They just oiled basically the bolt. And it had 14,000 rounds plus put through it. They shot it every day for however many months it was. And since then, they've continually shot it to see what would break. Basically kind of like a durability test. And it's
right.
Like 18,000 rounds so far they've put through it. The only thing that they've had to replace on it was a cam pin bearing, which if you're in your bolt carrier group, you have the cam that basically kind of lets the bolt itself slide back and aids with ejection.
Okay.
And they've only replaced that because that piece broke. But anything else on the gun, of course, is fine. Now, what you're talking about as far as warping, like your barrel warping, it also depends on what type of barrel you have. If you have like a very thin pencil profile barrel, it's all about how fast you're wanting to shoot. If you're doing constant full auto mag dumps, the gun's going to get hot. The gun's going to get hot real fast, and the barrel is going to warp on you. It may warp after 200 rounds, 300 rounds. But as fast as you can pull the trigger, honestly, you probably could shoot your gun 500 rounds before something really would get to where it's starting to turn red hot and go. Now, granted, you know, everything's can change. It's all subjective. But
do you know what warping means, Tim?
I mean, I know what it means, obviously, but I'm not sure I understand what it means in this context.
You're shooting so many rounds that the friction builds up, and it just the steel loses its what would you say?
Steeliness.
The steeliness. It just gets soft. Starts turning into liquefied
hot,
metal.
Yeah, and it gets to the point of failure of the metal to where the metal starts to move.
Turns into magma, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, liquid hot magma. And the barrel it's called barrel droop, and the barrel will actually drop down a little bit.
You're not what?
I mean, when I think of warping, I think of obviously changing its shape. So in a sense, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it does.
It basically, the way it sounds like is obviously when you shoot something, it heats up, and you basically make it so hot for so long that it kind of melts into a different angle. Is that
right.
What I'm gathering?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got the Biden-Harris shit here.
Okay.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, one of the first ones, he's got a list here. The first one is hold gun manufacturers accountable. Basically, he will prioritize changing the protection for gun manufacturers to where they're not held liable. Correct to what you told about the other day.
Right.
Where gun manufacturers can be held liable for violent crimes with their weapons. He's going to try to repeal that protection for them. He's going to try to get weapons off of our street. So what he's going to do is working to try to get back the assault weapons and high capacity ban. He's working on getting that back. He's banning manufacturer sale of assault weapons and high capacity and magazines. So that's the first thing. Executive authority to ban the importation of all assault weapons. He's going to regulate the possession of existing assault weapons under the National Firearms Act. Pursue legislation to regulate possession of all existing assault weapons. He's going to do a buyback. Buyback the assault weapons and high-capacity magazines already in our communities. This is all on his website.
Yes.
This is all direct from BidenHarris.com with their big blinking donate to us icon in the top right-hand side. This is all on his. I'm reading straight from the Biden-Harris Act. Buy back the assault weapons and high-capacity magazines already in our community. So they're going to try them back. Reduce stockpiling of weapons. So what he's going to try to do is he's going to support legislation restricting the number of firearms an individual may purchase per month to one. Now, there's more. But in the meantime, the first thing that has to happen is most of this has to go through the Senate and the House. Which, if the House is won by the Republicans, we're going to have a hard time being able to get a lot of this through. But this is his goal.
Yes.
This is his goal. Let's see. He's trying to get required background checks for any and all gun sales, no matter what, person to person or what. Let's see here. Okay, so specifically, I wanted to go into this one. It says, today an estimated 1 in 5 firearms are sold or transferred without a background check. Biden will enact universal background check legislation requiring a background check for all gun sales with very limited exceptions, such as gifts between close family members. That's going to be a loophole. This will close the so-called gun show and online sales loophole that the Obama-Biden administration narrowed, but cannot be fully closed by executive action alone. In addition to closing the, quote, boyfriend loophole, unquote, highlighted below. A whole bunch of other stuff. Reinstate the Obama-Biden policy to keep guns out of the hands of certain people unable to manage their affairs for mental reasons, which President Trump reversed. Close the hate crime loophole. Biden will enact legislation prohibiting an individual who has been convicted of a misdemeanor hate crime or received an enhanced sentence for a misdemeanor based because of hate. Because of hate or bias in its commission. Close the Charleston loopholes, which is,
hold that hand.
Yeah, the Charleston loophole allows people to complete a firearms purchase if their background check is not completed within 3 business days. Close the fugitive from justice loophole in the online sales of firearms and ammunition. Create an effective program to ensure.
Hold on. Let him finish.
Create an effective program to ensure individuals who become prohibited from possessing firearms will relinquish their weapons. Incentivize state extreme risk laws called red flag laws. You can look up those. Basically enable family members of law enforcement to temporarily remove an individual's access to firearms. That's a big one. because that one's subject. I want to read that one. Incentivize state extreme risk laws. Extreme risk laws, also called red flag laws, enable family members or law enforcement officials to temporarily remove an individual's access to firearms when that individual is in crisis and poses a danger to themselves or others. Biden will incentivize the adoption of these laws by giving states funds to implement them, and he will direct the U.S. Department of Justice to issue the best practices and offer technical assistance to states interested in enacting an extreme risk law. Giving in state incentives to set up gun licensing programs and adequately fund the background check system. All of this is, he'll establish a task force for online harassment and abuse to establish the connection between mass shootings on online harassment. And it goes on, hold adults accountable for giving minors access to firearms, require gun owners to safely store their weapons. There has to be unsafe, storage. Straw purchasers who buy a gun on behalf of somebody else, making that completely and totally prosecutable, not just illegal. Obviously, something can be illegal, and it's going to be more of a punishment for doing that. You know what I'm calling by straw purchases? Somebody buys it for you.
So I'm going to buy a gun for Tim.
Yes.
Without him doing a background check.
Immediately notify law enforcement when a potential firearm purchaser fails a background check. Require firearms to be obviously reported if they're stolen. Stop ghost guns.
You know what ghost guns are?
Yeah. So there's just a shit ton of shit.
That's what ghost gun is, whenever somebody in like the Philippines makes a fake gun based off the blueprint of an existing gun, and they ship it into the United States, but it doesn't have any way to trace the gun. And they do that a lot. Especially in the Philippines. I don't know why I know that. I know they make 45s for that reason.
Yeah. That,
all right, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Well, just touching on the ghost gun. They use the ghost gun blanket on a lot of different things. A lot of people, they buy what's called an 80%.
Okay.
AR lower, 80%, Glock lower. It's basically what it is. It's a it's a lower. It's a part of the gun that has to normally is registered.
Right.
And it is 80% completed. All you have to do is just a few things, drill out, whatnot, and then you have a working firearm.
You keep doing this, like talking to Mary. Speak right. Straight into the goddamn mic.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Perfect right there. All right. I fucking hate you so much. It is. It is hard having a retarded friend that always tries to get you to talk into the mic, right?
All right, continue.
Anyways, from my understanding, as far as with the guns with their serial numbers,
okay,
the serial number is so the manufacturers can track which gun, how many guns they have, which gun is here, because they're bound by, I believe it's the ATF, that they have to know where every single firearm is. They have to be able to track every single firearm in all stages of manufacturing.
Okay.
When someone makes a weapon of their own using the 80% method, it's completely legal. It's your right. You can do it. The reason why they don't have the serial numbers is because we don't have to put a number for sale purposes or whatnot to put a serial number on our own guns. What you're talking about is someone with the intent of making a gun that has no serial number, doesn't have this, to do evil things with.
Yes.
And I know they put it as a blanket as whatever, but I know a lot of people, they'll make their own gun because they want to, because it's kind of one of
it's
those
a
things. It's a hobby, yeah. And it's legal.
You gonna make your own gun, Tim?
Huh?
You gonna make your own gun?
Tim's on Grindr, just checking out the meat.
So I guess I get to be that dude. I lost interest. Math time, he started about second paragraph into the Biden-Harris, and I was like, I'm out.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just don't understand enough of it?
I don't understand enough, and I don't care enough. I get and understand. I'm unhappy about gun laws. I really am. But it's something I told you. Look like you have something you want to say. Go ahead.
No. I'm going to go stop you.
Okay. So, and something I was telling Ferris the other day when we were having an argument. Bass was about to tear me to shreds, by the way. I was having an argument with one of our other friends, and Ferris remembers this. Okay, we lose our rights daily, okay, between here, there, this, that, and another. And traditionally,
conservative Republicans don't give not one single fuck about this right being lost, this right being lost, whatever. But the second something starts to touch my guns, you suddenly cry? Fuck off. And I mean, that's it. I am not happy.
That's a fair criticism.
But at the same time, everything that Basil read on that, I was like, what's wrong? And this is what I hate about it. It seems like y'all are concerned. I'm saying y'all because, and I don't mean y'all specifically. I mean people who are gun enthusiasts. What's wrong with some fucking background checks? We all believe in gun control to an extent. Nobody believes a paranoid schizophrenic with violent outbursts should be allowed to have a gun. But it seems
how far are you willing to go with it, though? That's the thing. Like as far as
background
checks.
I understand that.
And just to elaborate on that, touching on what he said about the going to gun shows and whatnot, they're wanting to close a lot of different loops. Anytime you purchase a gun from any type of store, manufacturer, pawn shop, anything from gun shows, you have to get a background check. Now, what you're saying, and exactly what we were talking about earlier, the straw act or whatever, buying for a friend, him buying for you because you legally cannot possess a gun, right? I understand that. But when you start going down the rabbit hole of, well, he's not mentally able to buy a gun. Now, I understand, you know, there can be cut lines, but I can say that you're not mentally able to buy a gun just because I don't like you. And then we can take the proper method and you cannot be able to get something. You cannot be able to get that. I mean, that's kind of my question is where's the line?
And I do not disagree.
So,
well, going back to what I wanted to say real quick is, you know, I said earlier, I don't care. You know, I don't care about this. I just don't care. Okay. It's not that I don't care about the legislation that's attempted to be in pass. It's not that I don't care about that and that I didn't vote. It's that I don't care to hear your opinion, you fucking accountant who has no other knowledge about what's going on in the real politics of everything. Not saying that I do, other than what's on fucking Facebook and what's on CNN and Fox News. And you get your entire media coverage from those three outlets. And you're some kind of expert, you know what I'm saying? And I get tired of hearing about it.
On the other side, in agreement with that, it's like people were like, "Well, why didn't this person pass this bill? These bills are like 1,000 pages long, and it ain't uncommon for page 879 when somebody's checked out paragraph C of whatever. Oh, hey, by the way, all the profits go to my company. Which I mean, that shit happens all the time. It's like, man, you know, there's some sneaky shit that gets snuck in on these bills."
Well, let me reply to Tim for some things. He's
about to tear my ass off.
No, I'm not. You know what the problem with about 90% of all those laws that Basil said is that they're practically impossible to enforce.
And once again, I cannot emphasize this enough. I'm not into guns. It's just not my thing. But I am pro Second Amendment.
Yeah.
My problem is, as usual, and we know these people. I'm sure y'all do too. They wouldn't move their fucking ass if their house is on fire, but all of a sudden somebody says something about their guns and they get all passionate and shit.
I got that, but I think we'll deal with that. That's a separate issue, I think. Okay. To what he's talking about. Like everything that he's talking about 90% of all those things are impossible to, like, safe storage.
Yeah,
do you think they're really gonna send, especially think the cops here are gonna come and check you? No. There's a lot of practical things. If you look at like our gun crime in America, almost all of them are conducted by people who have stolen guns or got ghost guns or shit like that. This is why you should care. I'll tell you what, Tim should care. Is because those laws are only affecting am I a criminal?
Citizens.
Is he a criminal? Is he a criminal?
And I agree with
you. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I don't necessarily know if my anger is towards laws or towards...
Your anger is against the stupid rednecks who are assholes who like guns.
Yeah.
Who are assholes to you, and they like guns, so you want to shit on what they like.
To agree with Ferris, and I was actually going to bring that up before when he kind of kept going with it, exactly, is the laws are put in place to hinder people who are going to follow the laws. Because I can come... I can not know you. I can break into your truck, and I can steal your gun and commit a crime with it. Where can people police that? You understand what I'm saying? Like,
I mean,
that's kind of what you're talking about. Is someone, I buy a gun from you who you know, you stole them with a bunch of other guns from other people, and I'm getting them from you to, you know, commit a crime or to do whatever with. And there's no way to for the that the gun laws are going to touch that, if that makes sense what I'm saying.
You know why a lot of those guns are stolen? And something you kind of maybe alluded
improper
to.
Improper storage?
And, well, put it in their goddamn car, and someone breaks into their fucking car and steals a goddamn gun.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's stupid as fuck. Get your gun stolen is usually dumb.
Yeah.
The next purchase I'm going to make is not a gun. It's a gun safe.
It's a tank.
A gun safe is a smart thing to do.
I'm about a tank.
Yeah, like an Abrams tank.
You know,
oh, yeah, gun safe is fantastic.
Gun safe is it's just, I have guns strode everywhere, and I got to, it's just, it's a pain in the ass. And it's dangerous. Like, I don't want kids or anyone to get a hold of it. And a lot of gun owners, sometimes they get a little, they say stuff like, this is my new toy. They're not toys. They're fucking tools, and they can fucking kill you in a heartbeat.
They're a tool used to kill, no matter what you do with it.
Yeah, but what about when somebody says, this is my toy, when they're talking about their race car, their side-by-side,
their boat?
That's
fair.
I mean, it's. I understand what you're saying. I understand what both of you are saying. Like, you shouldn't think of it as a toy because it can kill. You know, it's a weapon that can kill someone. But on the flip side, it's something that they bought. It's their possession. They're happy with it. I'm not saying, you know, pro call it toys, but, you know, it's the exact same thing that can happen. You could buy a side-by-side, look at my new toy, and you run through a bus full of orphans and kill every single one of them. You know, the parents wouldn't get mad, but you get what I'm saying.
Okay, let me ask you this. So a lot of people say this, and this is one thing I vehemently disagree with, is that they say, just hold it. They say guns are made to kill, and that's their only function. Let me ask you, is a over-under gun that's specifically made for skeet shooting, is that made for killing?
Hold up. I'm going to interrupt this here because I don't even know what the fucking over-under is.
It's two shotgun. Barrels, one on
yeah,
top, one
on
the
top,
other.
One's
okay.
On bottom. People use it for skeet shooting, like what he was saying.
Okay. I would say I'm not an enthusiast by any means. Y'all know a shit ton more. But I would say I have a better knowledge of guns than a more common person, and I don't even know what some of that shit is. So some of it's lack of education because, I mean, we don't have to go hunt and kill our shit anymore. I can go to Brookshire's and find. But education is a minor thing, and it's kind of like when you see some of these gun things, people don't have to shoot guns anymore.
No. Here's, you know what I think they should teach people is proper gun etiquette.
I mean, I agree.
One of the big, like teaching people, like treat every gun as if it's were loaded.
Yeah.
You know how many times you give a gun?
The rules that we were taught when we were growing up kind of thing.
Give a gun to somebody who's not used to guns and watch them wave that fucking gun.
Watch out.
And like at you, even if it's not loaded. We've all heard that story before. Now
we all know that story a little bit.
Now, since, you know, we could go on that gun thing, which honestly I'm not too worried about it because I don't think most of it will pass because 90% of it's practically impossible to enforce, and the rest of it, you know, has to be fought tooth and nail by, you know, the That's House and the
like
Senate.
Like what Basil was saying, yeah, the House and Senate, if one of them remains,
but,
then they're going to kick back everything.
I think it's not only gun people, Tim. I think it's a lot of people who are anti-gun don't see the gun side. People are guilty of only giving a shit about what directly affects them.
I agree a whole hundred early. I will shit
they
on
are. You cannot say that I'm a pro-constitutionalist and you don't care if the government tries to take away your free speech or the government tries to unreasonable searches and seizures. They can just search your shit without any just cause. You can't say that you follow the Constitution without defending those and just defend the Second Amendment, which a lot of people do, and you're right. I don't like those people either because they eventually all you're going to have is guns.
I stopped listening to a podcast that...
Was it the Weird But Harmless podcast?
No, it was the Satanic Temple podcast. They were so happy that Alex Jones got taken off, and when I heard that, I quit listening to them because I was like, if any organization should be about free speech, it should be this one. But y'all are super stoked that Alex Jones is taken off the air. But that is a direct violation of the First Amendment. And if anybody should be for free speech, it should be this group of people who up until probably about 20 years ago couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. That's what he has to say.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, you know, but what people are going to fall back on, Tim, is they're going to say, well, he is not being violated. His free speech is not being violated.
Agreed.
His platform, in order to make his speech known, is being taken away from him by a private company that he is utilizing their services.
Is it
to
still
spread to? It's a private company.
Is it still technically? No, I'm not trying to be smart.
Whether or not it's traded publicly, or its profits are acquired for private people, doesn't mean that it doesn't have its own internal rules for use. Hence, terms of agreement.
I mean, that's fair,
right? It's not.
Did you ever read this?
No. I'm not saying that sometime down the pipeline. That may be a big change because there may be legislation passed that makes social media not susceptible to being, you know, censored in ways like that. That's kind of like what's, you know.
Like the telephone companies or
yes,
utilities or something.
Exactly. Well, there's a lot of history there about what was people, you know, telephone companies being in trouble for phone calls being made, you know, planning stuff. You know, at the same time, you know, how do you say two people are planning something and they use the telephone to plan it? Is a telephone company liable? No, they're just providing the service, how you use the service, you know. So what I'm saying about the Alex Jones things is, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. They are stifling his speech by making him in violation, claiming him to be in violation of their terms and agreement. They're stifling him. But that's their right to do that.
I agree, but
you cannot sit in the same boat as the Satanic Temple and be like, you know, fuck this, fuck that. Let's put a temple of who? Baphomet?
Yeah.
And Baphomet in front of the Oklahoma, you know, Supreme Court and complain about free speech and all these things, freedom of religion, and then celebrate when somebody's speech is stifled because it disagrees with what you have to say. That's fucking hypocrisy to the max.
Well, I quit listening to it.
I agree. But I just don't think that it's Google's fault that they're doing that. Do I think Google and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter are fucked? Absolutely, because they are undeniably 100% left-leaning pieces of shit, and they stifle conservative voices. Now, does that mean I agree with all those conservative voices? No. But there is overwhelming evidence to show that the leftists are being propped up more on social media than they are on the conservative side.
Let me ask you all this. So on the Joe Rogan podcast, some, I don't know how many years ago it was, the people who were in charge of Twitter came on. And Tim Pool,
like Jack Dorsey.
Year. Maybe it,
Jack Dorsey came first, and then Jack Dorsey and that Asian woman
lawyer,
came on.
The lawyer.
And then Tim Pool came on with them. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Tim Pool was on there. That show, I was just like, fuck. Because Tim Pool did not let them have an inch.
Now, let me ask you this, okay? You obviously said they're private. If Jack Dempsey and the lawyer lady would have just said, hey, you know what? Yeah, we are left-leaning. What the fuck are you going to do about it? I mean, you're not being forced to use that service. And if it's
you're right, but how many services are out there as big as Twitter that have a platform like Twitter?
I mean, is that their fault, though?
No, it's not their fault, but that doesn't still answer my question. How many services out there are like Twitter to where you can connect with that many people on a social media platform?
My point being, though, is if they just come out and say, yeah, we're left, we own this company, we're left-leaning, we don't...
They should have said that from the beginning instead of being like, well, giving those lawyer answers, like, well, you know, we try...
I mean, that's what I'm saying, is if they just come out and say, hey, you know what, yeah, we're left-leaning, and we, you know, we kind of monitor what conservatives put. You know, if you don't like our service, don't use it. You know, I mean... Do you still use the service?
You know, I can't hardly use Twitter anymore. And I tell you what might make me delete Twitter is if they get rid of Trump when he's no longer president. Because it's no longer going to be fun anymore. Because Trump was fun as a president. I didn't say that he's a good one. I didn't say he was a bad one.
He was entertaining.
He was entertaining.
That's
I don't
damn
give
sure.
a fuck what you say. He was entertaining.
Could you imagine what would have happened if in that debate if they had an actual fact checker? Like, because, I mean, they even proved, like,
they did. Just after the fact.
Way after the fact. Because my favorite one was where Donald Trump said, the sheriff of Portland gave me his backing, and the next day, like, it was the sheriff of Portland was like, yeah, dude, I've never said anything good about you. It's like, could you just imagine if they had a fact checker right then and there? It's like, Mr. President, you're wrong, sir.
Well, you know, they did that. Trump did that when Biden was talking about fracking. That was like Trump putting his nuts on the table when he literally said, "It was in your commercials, Joe." talking about fracking. He's like, and Joe Biden was like, I've never said that. And then the next day he posted this video of all the times that Joe said he's going to ban fracking. Like, that was a pretty cool shit. And you see, it was got downplayed by everybody that he just blasted him out of the water on that. But Trump also is very verbose. He's very over the top, and he does exaggerate a lot. But that's the difference between a politician, like pretty much everybody, and then Trump that comes in the office, and his biggest claim to fame is coming down the row and beating the shit out of Vince McMahon, you know, I mean, other shit like that. He wants to be in the eye, you know? And you compare that to what we just got away from, with whether or not you like him or not, whether or not you think anything about his policies, Obama was as stately as they come. He was as politic as they get. You know what I'm saying? He was very well-spoken, very highly regarded in all circles that are politics.
He weighed every word he said and every step he took.
Exactly.
And which in a way makes him not trustworthy.
You would think so, but people lap it up like fucking Sunday milk.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
It is. I was expecting more.
Well, I mean, to agree with what Basil was saying, the masses, like, you know, like he said, whether you like or you dislike Obama, you know, he carried himself a certain way, he acted a certain way, he did things, like he said, very stately. And in the American people, quote unquote, they lapped it up, they loved it, like Sunday milk, not like Monday milk. And the big thing with Trump is, you know, the dude's going to say some wild shit.
You know,
he really is. He's going to say some wild, wild things.
You don't really know who any of them are, but I get a feeling that Obama changes a lot when he's not in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I get a feeling that Hillary is a monster out away from the camera.
Like, literally, sheds her human skins, turns into lizards.
Hold on, one second. I think Biden doesn't know what the fuck is going on when he's not on the camera.
That's just dementia.
I think that Donald Trump is Donald Trump on the stage.
Yes.
He's Donald Trump when he's backstage.
Yes,
he's in the elevator. When he brings models back to his hotel, whatever it is, yeah. Donald Trump is Donald fucking Trump every fucking time.
And a lot of the, you know, the conservative people, a lot of those type of people, they liked him for that. But what you were talking about as far as with politicians, the one thing that I saw, and it really kind of hit home with me, and this was with left, right, center, whatever. You have people that have been in office for, you know, 40 years, you know, having positions.
Right.
They have been a politician for 40 years, and all they have done has drawn a paycheck.
Yeah.
And that's it. You should you should really ask yourself that. Like, why are they there? And that's one of the things I was watching. Of course, you know, it's not any type of credible source or whatever. But it was a black guy, and had a video, and he was talking about as far as left. He was a big pro Trump guy, whatever. But he was saying, you know, all of my African American brothers and sisters, you've voted Democrat for so many years. You've put your faith in this side for so many years, and what have they done for you? If you've done that, you know, you're still living in poverty, you're still, you know, living in the ghetto, you're still doing these things, wouldn't you think you would want to at least try something else? If I'm walking through the door and every time I walk through the door I get mauled by a tiger, I might go walk through a different door. Hell, it may be an elephant hit me, but at least I'm going to know it's different.
Right.
You know? But what you're talking about as far as fact-checking, Tim and Basil, I agree 100%. They do need to have fact-checkers. They need to have fact-checkers for every politician that opens their mouth. Because you'll have politicians on both sides, and this is every single damn one of them, that will say something. They will say things that is a blatant lie just because it sounds good. You know, oh, Tim raped three women in the bathroom last year in the middle of February, and that never happened. But people attack that, and they get on that, and they're like, oh, my God, Tim's a rapist.
I don't really care that Tim raped those people. I just care that he's anti-gun.
He is anti-gun.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, he can rape all the people he wants. As long as he don't take my guns away, that's where I draw the fucking line.
He can rape them all. But it's well, you were talking about earlier about the when they're trying to.
Someone's going
to
hear this and like.
Oh, this is off the rails. But when they're talking about as far as like writing the bills and stuff, one of the things that I was actually did do a little research when they did the stimulus pack, that however many trillion dollars or billion dollars the stimulus pack was, they had so much that was allocated for the American people. And then they broke off because it was a kind of a standstill. Thank you, Manuel.
Yeah.
It was kind of a standstill of you know, the right was trying to do this, the left was trying to do this, but they came back after they were trying to push through the stimulus pack. And if you look at what they accepted, it was like $200 million to clean 3 monuments. The Senate gets another 4 weeks of paid vacation. It was a lot of extra. I agree with you.
Yeah.
A lot of extra bloated shit. And it's me being, you know, someone who is not a politician, you know, not well read and learned,
dumb.
Something like that. America.
He's just a dumbass.
Just a big old dummy. That should not have any bearing on them trying to at least pump something back into the economy, back into the people, to pay the people so they're not getting their lights shut off, not paying their bills, you know, having to eat the cat, whatever. Like, that's that type of shit doesn't even belong on the same page, but it goes back to the politicians and the way the politicians think. Well, we have this big bucket of money and we're going to push it through. Well, hey, let's get this, let's get that, let's get these things too. Hey, you know what? Let's all get a $70,000 pay increase. All in favor? That's another thing.
Llama.
Yeah, and free llama. Well, I mean, they already got a free llama. Like, you have a group of people that vote
when they
get a vacation. Yeah, or when they get a raise. You have a group of people that vote for their own raise. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Hey, Tim, Basil, Ferris, I propose that we have an extra week of paid vacation. All in favor? Who the fuck's going to say no? Who's going to be like, oh, no, that's not a good idea there, Drew? No, they're all like, yeah, let's do it. Screw it. And that's the problem.
Yeah. You know what a big problem is when it comes to the pay for senators? Is that they say, well, we shouldn't pay them anything. Well, the problem, or let's not even do the Senate. Let's do House of Representatives. If you said, okay, we're not going to pay them anything, a lot of people say that. Problem with that is only the people who are rich enough to be in government will stay in the government. People who can't afford to stay in government will get out, will leave. So you're going to only have people who don't give a fuck about
you're gonna have people
Joe Blow
that
and
even
West
more
Maryland.
Don't give a fuck about the small people.
Yes.
I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, they do need a salary. They do need to be paid for what they do. But a lot of people, you know, think that these people get into the position and they have the best interest in mind for this or the best interest in mind for that. But, you know, there's a lot of back scratching, a lot of, hey, you vote for this, I'll vote for this, as far, you know, in between the people, you know, a lot of the IOUs.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there would be a problem if we limited, let's say, presidential elections, their campaigns? They can only start campaigning for president 3 months before the election.
No, I don't think that would be a problem. I think a lot of people, just being honest with you, by the time the elections are coming up, a lot of people already know who they want.
I might have to agree with him on this. I mean,
so.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
How many people, and you know, not to step on your toes, but how many people went into that election booth, whatever side they wanted to vote for, they went to that election booth going, I hate the big orange man. I hate him. He's a horrible person. And they did not give a shit who ran against him. And vice versa. How many people goes, I don't want that damn communist Biden in here. Or before that, I don't want that Hillary in here. I'm voting for Trump. No matter what they had to say, that's who they're voting for.
That R and that D beside whatever name. I mean, that's all they need. How many people? We know a lot of people. That's all they need to see is, especially when it comes to the president, because it's usually one of each side. All they need to see is, hey, that person's Republican or that person's a Democrat, and that's who they're voting for.
Do you think any of them changed their mind when it came to the stimulus package? Do you think anyone got that $1,200 and said, okay, I'm going to vote for Trump?
No,
I don't.
Then why do you think Nancy Pelosi was fighting it so fucking hard?
Because Nancy Pelosi, what we were talking about before, she had a lot of things that she wanted to put in the bill with it, to pay these people, to pay that, to get this, to get extra money that had nothing to do with the stimulus package.
Yeah, most of it was not even to the people.
I know, and most people they either don't know or they don't care. But of the amount of money, absolutely. A big portion of it was not even to the people.
It's kind of like there's like $200 million to stimulate the arts.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the arts don't need to be stimulated. I'm not even saying that we don't even spend
but
money.
But that's not the time
but
and the place.
But not right now.
Yeah, it's not the place.
Not
for
right
it.
Now. We need people who can pay their fucking rent, pay their fucking bills, pay this, pay that, get food on the fucking table.
And that was the whole point, my understanding, my thoughts of it. The whole point of the stimulus was to keep the lights on, to keep people from going, not hungry, but you get what I'm saying, what you're saying, to keep people from being homeless.
So do you all right, let me ask you this question. If the government has the ability to shut your business down, do they have the obligation to match the money that you would have made that year when they shut it down?
I think so.
You would think that they would, but they don't. They won't.
They don't give a fuck.
Absolutely they don't.
I mean, here's how you know they don't care. Nancy Pelosi, you got to stay home. We got to stay home. Bitch got caught going to get her fucking hair done. They don't give a fuck.
Gavin Newsom got in trouble for it, too.
Yeah.
Even when it came to the protest and the riots, Nancy Pelosi, riot. They got close to her house. Whoa, don't riot here.
Hey, we should stop this rioting, guys. This is silly. What was it?
John Bell Edwards did the same exact thing. Wear a mask. No gatherings.
It was the governor of Oregon, maybe. Had a lot of stuff, demolished from the riots and a lot of revenue lost and having to rebuild. And they asked for the government for hey, we need some money. And they were like, no, you were pro riot, you were pro destroy things. No, deal with it. You wanted to disband your police, you wanted to do this, you wanted to have no law. And have it be the Wild West. You figure it out. Now, granted, that may not be 100% accurate or whatever, but that's my thing, is if you are pro-destroy everything, you can protest, and this is me and you may differ, me and you may not, but you can protest and you can really want to change things, but when you start destroying shit just because, that's when there's a problem.
The funny thing about it is that a lot of the videos I saw from all the riots and shit, it was... It looked like suburban white kids that were most.
No. Yeah, I'm not at all saying it was all blacks, the blacks, all black people for Black Lives Matter. No. It was a lot of, like you said, a lot of middle-aged or early in their 20s suburban white kids doing it.
That didn't have any worry in the world.
That had nothing to do with it. They just wanted to. Yes, this is what we need to do, and we're going to start burning stuff and tearing shit up.
Cared nothing about George Floyd. They just saw an opportunity to fuck shit up and took it.
Okay, some people say it's like, well, it's just the voice of the unheard. That's why they're destroying shit.
Then why don't they protest and go crazy about every year 70, and I know the numbers vary, but I'm trying to think, was it 2 years ago? It was like 68 black kids died during the 4th of July weekend in Chicago, and nobody protests shit for that.
Well, why would you?
Well, because
it's not political.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no oppression in it.
That's what I'm saying. It's you're so upset with a group of people dying, but if it doesn't in agreeance, if it doesn't fit your agenda, if it's not political, if it's not and I hate to use the word, but if it's not a white cop killing a black person, then it doesn't concern you. I'm right here, man. I'm trying.
This is what you hear that noise. This is what we're hearing. Anyways, so
he's
gonna have to do a master
retarded.
Class about how to hold a goddamn microphone. Fuck. Get away from my microphone. You've had the microphone for too long.
Let me ask you this: y'all think we get a second stimulus package? Ever?
Absolutely.
Think
absolutely,
so?
Yeah. If COVID continues at the rate that it's continuing now, I don't see how we couldn't. Because, I say that only to say this, because if COVID continues like it's going now, we're going to be going back to phases one and shutdowns and lockdowns. And if that happens, you best believe there's going to be some stimulus packages. I don't see how there couldn't be.
Okay, here's the thing. When it comes to the stimulus package, they can't keep doing what they've been doing with the trillions of dollars. It's going to have to be just direct payments. And that means a lot of those politicians are not going to be in favor of it because they're not going to get through... They're not going to grease their wheel, whatever you want to say.
Exactly.
Here was a big pet peeve for me on the first stimulus check and unemployment. I knew people that were making more on unemployment from that than they were getting.
Yeah.
than they would have made working. And it's 100%. Like, how does 100%. That work? How do you, you can't? We had people at the job I was at.
Yeah, you had people that were refusing to go back to work because they were making more than they made when they were working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a girl that worked for us. I don't think she understood how unemployment works. She was getting ready to quit her job because she could have got more in unemployment. We were like, no.
You can't quit.
You don't get to quit and get unemployment. You have to be let go. And we're not being let go. Point of fact. You have to be laid off. Yeah. I would have loved to have been laid off. I wouldn't even ask for the unemployment. Just like, let me just get out of here, because I was literally working 9 hours a day to help one person, and I was like, this sucks.
Well, those were, believe it or not, however you want to do it, that's a socialist program. It is. Divvying up money from the masses to the masses.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, you deal with that in a way that's kind of very touch and go. You know, how do you justify, you know, socialist agendas like that and stimuluses for, you know, people, you know, stimuli.
Yeah, pretty sure that's,
you know,
yeah.
Stimuli is a good word.
And my thing is this, is like, okay, I'm, as a libertarian, I'm obviously against, like, socialist measures and stuff. However, they said, okay, well, then why would you take the checks? Well, my thing is one, I see it as I'm just getting the money back that I had to pay in taxes anyways. Because every 3 fucking months, I got to pay almost $2,000 in fucking taxes. So when I got the $1,200 back, it's like, well, I'm just getting my fucking shit back.
That is the beauty of this country, that the harder you work and the more money you make, your what's the word I'm looking for?
The more shit they take.
Yeah. The more you work, the more money you make, your prize is you owe.
Yes.
You know?
So, had that money taken away. And then also, I still feel that if the government can come in and stop your business, they should compensate you for that.
I agree.
They should compensate you for what that happened.
We were talking about this the other day, me and my old roommate. And, you know, as you do. I said, imagine if we would have opened a business in, let's say, October of last year.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, a restaurant, a bar, you know, something like that. And business was actually doing fantastic. We fit in that niche. We were making money. People loved it. It was just a good time. And then come March, we're dead. If we had a $200,000 loan we had to pay, the payments are still coming.
Yeah.
And we're completely, we have nothing. And if we were to try to do something to at least to make ends meet, then like what you said, the government could come in and be like, no, we're shutting you down and we're going to pull your license. Like, we can do all these things, and, like, that's, for lack of a word, that's just bullshit.
Well, there was that bar in Monroe, and they kind of irritated me that they got on the news to say, we're going to come open. It's like, why'd you get on, don't get on the
why
fucking news and tell
it?
People. You know that's going to get people to come shut your ass down.
Go the old-fashioned way.
You literally could have someone who's just mad at you call whoever it is to fucking come shut you down.
That's one of them things you keep secret until, like, maybe 20 minutes before you're getting ready to open, and then you blast Facebook for as long as you can. Oh, hey, we're going to be open.
I don't know if you guys remember, but the I think he was Turkish. I'm not sure, but the chef guy, you've seen Instagram, Facebook.
Salt Bay?
Yeah, with the glasses and whatnot. He had a bit. Yeah, the Salt guy, yes.
Salt Bay.
Anyway,
Salt Bay.
Salt. Okay, his name's probably Rob.
His name is Nusret.
Is it? It's Nusret?
Nusret.
Anyway, but he had a bar in New York. And it was open, shouldn't have been open, whatever. And it was the exact thing. He blasted all over Facebook. He put it over there. People were coming in. He was having parties. He was, you know, it was open. And as soon as it hit so many people, it got kicked up a level. And next thing you know, New York came in and shut him down, pulled his license, and all that good jazz. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Just word of mouth and, hey, we're opening tomorrow, one day. That's it.
I mean, the government's making you an outlaw, but, I mean, they're not compensating you. So, people got to do what they got to do.
Yeah.
And $1,200 ain't fucking doing shit.
$1,200 is nothing.
You can go through $1,200 like nothing.
My apartment at the time was $1,200.
Yeah, you can blow through $1,200 real quick.
And here's the thing. It's like, okay, it's going to be $1,200 every time? Or are they going to bump it up? Or are they going to make it monthly?
It was $1,200 per person.
Yes.
And then it was also an extra, I want to say, $500
per kid.
Yeah. So
I should have adopted my dog.
Yeah, you should have adopted your dog.
Dude, no shit. Basil.
I don't know if anyone will know this. Did people who got unemployment every month. Did they also receive a stimulus?
Yeah.
They did. Okay. I don't know.
There's so many loopholes. And like I say, it there's a line between helping people out and people abusing the system.
Right.
But if there's so many loopholes that people use with anything. I mean, everybody uses loophole at one point or another. But there's so many loopholes as far as for government assistance that people use that you would look at and say, how can you literally live like this? Like, how can you, I guess not really live, but how can you, like, go to sleep at night? Because you're basically getting this quote-unquote free money.
Right.
And there's no such thing as free money as far as when the government, like, it doesn't happen that way. But anyway, you're getting all these things for free. And then, you know, you're completely cool with it. And then you have other people who are working and, you know, hey, man, I'm getting 40% of my paycheck now, you know, for this, that, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like, it's just, it'd make you sick.
Or on the flip side, you know, I had this happen. You make an extra dollar or two here and there over a year and you don't qualify for any of it anymore.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of my managers at a previous job, and I don't remember the exact number, but just for the sake of the story, you know, the cutoff for food stamps is 20 grand a year, and she made 21 grand one year. And I mean, it's like, and she, I mean, she, I don't remember the exact number, but it was something stupid like
the,
that.
The number for, like, quote, for, you know, government assistance, like property thing, is something like $12,000 a year.
Yeah. And if you make a dollar,
you cannot live on $13,000 a year.
Oh.
You know, there, yes, there are people who, you know, exceptions, but. Like having kids or whatever, living, you know, 13 grand a year.
Jeez.
That's $1,000 a month. Like, come on.
Ugh. What do you think, Basil?
Basil?
There are levels. Obviously, everybody sitting at this table has come up with no depravity, no extreme poverty. There are levels, but by no means are any of us well off. Yet. No, but there are levels to this. Obviously, you know, my mortgage is over $1,000 a month, and people would say I'm privileged to even have a mortgage. Well, I have a good job. I work hard. I got myself an education, you know. Yeah. Big old schmeckle. I mean,
big old Arabian meat cannon.
But, no. But yeah, anyways, yeah, ladies. No,
we established this earlier. They ain't listening.
But, you know, people would say that's privilege, but, you know, also, you know, I've worked hard to get what I've got. I've worked, you know, done a lot of sacrifice, just like everybody has. There are levels to poverty. You know, there are, you know, 20,000 a year to some people, to me, would be tough. I would have to change everything I do. I have to sell my house, sell my vehicle, work car, you know.
You know, it's not a privilege. Having parents and grandparents that gave a fuck about you and raised you right.
And saved.
That's what parents are, and grandparents and guardians are fucking supposed to do. Yes, some people die. Some parents die. Grandparents die. And you don't have that. But it's not a privilege to have that. Just because somebody knocks someone up and then fucking leaves them, that's not... It doesn't qualify me being privileged because I have two parents and grandparents that give a shit about me. Yeah, you can say I'm fortunate and lucky. But don't fucking throw that shit in my face. Like, that's what they were supposed to do, is take fucking care of me and teach me to be worth a shit. And when you say privilege, a lot of times when people say privilege, they say it in this fucking demeaning way. They don't think they're being, it's like, I don't really mean it that way. Well, what you say matters. Say, you know, I'm very fortunate that I had parents who took care of me. I had grandparents who gave a shit about me. I was very fortunate. But to say that I'm privileged makes it seem like I didn't fucking deserve any of that. You know? That's the problem with a lot of things today, is there's no family structure anymore.
That's huge. People don't.
I know it sounds silly, but, like, one thing that I took for granted when I was younger, but I see the wisdom in it now, is eating every Friday or every Sunday with my family.
Absolutely.
Which, when I was younger, I was like, I didn't want to do it. Especially when I hit 13, 14, I didn't want to do it. But as an adult, I see it now. It's like, well, you're goddamn right I want to do it, because I see what that did. It established the family, establishes a community. Like, you had people that you could rely on. And it just came from a fucking meal. And I remember one of my friends said that they try to do it when they're in their 20s. Their parents try to start doing that. It's like, it's not going to fucking work. You have to do it when they're fucking little kids.
So us, it's second nature just to be like, oh, we're going to eat, all right.
We're going to eat.
Yeah. Everybody's and you better have a goddamn excuse, a good goddamn excuse to not go,
be there.
Not be there on Friday. Because Papa was fucking paying for it, and he expected you to be there.
Exactly.
You know, you didn't have a fucking choice in the matter.
Absolutely. The Friday Johnnies.
Friday Johnnies.
That's where it's at. And like what you said, it's a tradition thing. But you're talking about, like, as far as with the privilege thing, I agree with you 100%. Is you were fortunate to have your kid.
Hold on one second. And Tim, just having your mom is good enough. It doesn't have to be a huge family.
Dude, you've met my mom. My mom is straight up alpha.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that's like, yeah, I know we had the big family, but even the one mom who gave a shit about you is enough.
Oh, that gives a shit about you is worth two parents that stay gone all the time. It's way, way more than that. If your mom cares about you and cares about where you are and wants you to, you know, be right, live right, be responsible, be a good person, like, that's huge.
That's another thing huge. That Papo said that I didn't believe. I didn't understand it when he said it. He said, your mom is the only person that gives a shit about you without asking anything in return for it.
It's true.
You know, everyone else, like girlfriends, boyfriends, friends, you know, there's give and take to it. But your mom gives a shit about you.
Nothing but give.
That's all. They just give a shit about you. Now, granted, they're going to annoy the shit out of you a lot of times, but that kind of comes with the territory.
Basil?
Paris?
I love when she calls y'all all by the wrong name.
Basil? Paris?
She runs by every single name and finally gets the right one.
I'll get to it eventually.
There's select few people in the world can have an entire conversation with them just asking questions. That's literally the conversations with my grandmother and my mother. It's all them asking me questions. That is more annoying than crotch itch for some people. And for me, it's annoying when people who, you know, like, I don't talk to you all the time or I don't talk to you regularly, when all they're doing is asking me questions over and over, like, where are you going? What you doing? What's happening with this? That's cool. But I'll answer those questions all day, every day for Memo and Mom, every day. Like, you know, there's no question about it because I know where it comes from. It's purely I'm caring about you, and I'm trying to let you understand that I'm caring about you by wanting to be engaged in your life because I'm not around as much as I once was. You know, I live an hour away. You know, so, I mean, every single day that I get a phone call from Memo and it's nothing but her asking me questions, I'm fucking grateful for that. And that makes a big difference in the long run because you learn how to transfer that to people, your children. And you can do that for your children and understand that their happiness stems from how you treat them a lot of times. And it's hard for people to make that connection. And that goes all the way back into how people end up as adults, is how you're raised as a kid and how you're shown affection and how you're shown. I mean, that's where psychopaths come from a lot of times, too. You know, people just going crazy from their parents and whatever happened. You know, a lot of things can go bad.
Right.
So, like, the family structure is very fucking important. As far as that's concerned, is it like as far as human psyche is concerned, we're a family unit, and that throughout the history of time has worked for the majority of the time. Majority of the time, family units are strong, they're good. You know, obviously there's outliers. And
well,
obviously,
what do you get when there's a lack of it? Gangs.
Yeah.
You get fucking these organizations, cults.
Cults.
Porn stars.
Porn stars, strippers.
That's daddy issues. That's different. But no, absolutely. What it is you have people like what you said with the gangs, is you have people that are looking for that stability. They're looking for that group.
Right.
They're wanting people to be there unconditionally, that, you know, have their back. Because like your mom, your grandmother, your mother, I promise you, would run through a flaming building with a chicken if that meant you wouldn't get hurt. You know what I mean? Without a doubt. And that's what they want, you know.
You don't seem like that sometimes.
Oh, I know, dude. Trust me, I know.
If you're not getting annoyed by your parents, I don't know if you have good parents.
They don't care, yeah. That's the thing. If they're not on you, and like what Basil said, you can have a 45-minute conversation with your grandma with her only asking questions.
You know, it was a weird thing growing up was watching TV shows that, and I guess maybe this East Coast or West Coast thing, where they'd say, like, you got to go to Thanksgiving, you got to see your family. This is going to be terrible. It's like,
well, we live in the South.
Where
the
South
is the Southern family.
Happy
yeah.
to see it.
Well, that's the thing. Okay. Is like down here, it's about family. And maybe in other parts of the U.S., it may be you only see family on holidays. You
right.
know, y'all have a close family.
Right.
You know, like my grandparents, my aunts, stuff like that. Like, we don't see each other a whole lot, but we still stay in contact. We may not talk to each other for, you know, 2 months and then pick up the phone and, you know, talk for 3 hours on the phone. I have a cousin of mine. We'll do that. Like, I won't talk to him literally for 2 months. And he called me the other day. We were on the phone for an hour and a half. Like, just talking about anything.
Right.
Just talking. Just like you pick up where you left off. It's like Basil. I could not talk to Basil for a while. And then we just pick right back up, calling each other names and him whispering sweetly in the phone.
Anything to say about that, Basil?
No, I mean, I mean, everybody has, like I said, bits and pieces that don't fit all the time, you know, and it makes a difference. A little bit of effort goes a long way in situations like that. I mean, every single person that I know of has something going on. There's, you know, whether it's sick kids, everybody has something going on, you know, but, you know, that structure I will never deny is super important. Super important. Absolutely.
So, I took this friend of mine hunting one time, and he killed a deer. Well, technically, he wounded a deer, and then I shot in the head with a pistol, like Stalin style.
As you do.
And
there are your papers.
We got it. We got the deer, and we put it in the back of, I can't remember if it was his truck or my car. His car or my car, I can't remember. I think I had the Explorer at the time. Anyways, we take it and show his dad, and his dad was excited. He's like, oh, man, but I didn't really think nothing of it. And then he told me later, he's like, my dad just said, mom said he couldn't stop talking about killing that fucking deer.
I like how he ratted me out there because we did it at first.
His name was Robbie.
His name was Robert.
And you kind of got to understand the dynamic of it. And we talk about me being raised by my mom. My dad was there. It's not like he was an absentee dad. My dad just remarried, and they had five other kids, not including me. And they didn't. My dad and my stepmom didn't make a lot of money. And my mom made more by herself than they did together, having to split that between five kids. So it was a different dynamic than what I got.
So you chose the privileged life with your mom.
Fucking right I did.
Than the life with your dad.
Well, it's pretty typical to go to your mom when you're a kid.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I mean, but what would you do? You're crammed in a tiny house.
Oh, no. You know, I 100% would. I would have had my bags packed, son.
Yeah, my dad kind of understood. But my dad's also very country. And so I've never really taken an interest in hunting and fishing and the country stuff. I'm more urban, art show, concerts. So when me and him go hunting.
The country stuff.
When me and him go
canning and churning butter.
Fucking your cousins.
I said country stuff, not Amish. But, yeah. So we loaded this deer up into my truck. It was mine. Because it stunk for forever. And my dad was grinning from ear to ear. My stepmom texted me sometime later. And like, he will not shut the hell up about it.
He was proud of you.
And it's not that he didn't give a shit about, like, your guitar. He just probably didn't understand any of that. You know what I mean?
My dad, I don't know how to say it, but other than if his choice was between doing something, he felt in his head if he did something for me but he didn't do it for them, he'd be showing favoritism. And my stepmom even told me later on, if he said he just wanted to take you hunting so he could spend time with his son, I'd have been okay with it. But my dad in his head was like, well, I don't want to take them fuck-ups hunting. He didn't say it like that, but that's pretty much what he was getting at. I don't want to take them hunting. But instead of causing the shitstorm that would come by saying, hey, I want to take my son hunting, but I don't want to deal with your kids, he just said, fuck it, I'm not taking anybody hunting.
Most people aren't hardly going to get in hunting and fishing if they're not introduced to it as a kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even some people don't like it, even when they're introduced with it. But you're more, if you have somewhat of a propensity to like it and your family takes you hunting and fishing when you're a kid, you're going to like to do it.
It goes back to traditions.
You know, but now, hunting's a tad bit different in the sense that, like, it's a primal instinct thing to hunt and kill and eat and all that stuff. So people who weren't raised doing that can become interested in doing it later on, like Joe Rogan. Which sometimes Joe Rogan kind of annoys me a tad
bit. He's all over the place.
Well, I'll tell you.
It depends on who his guest is.
When it comes to hunting, let me tell you what annoys me. is that he never hunted before. And when he finally started hunting, he was doing things that people who hunt never get to do. He talks about, you know, you got to be in really good shape hunting. When have you climbed the mountain in fucking Louisiana? When have you gone for desert pronghorns across the desert? No, we've never done. When
I
have
take,
you?
I take my big red three wheeler out to my box stand.
Yeah, it's like
park it.
And if people will have the audacity to say, "Well, that's not real hunting," it's like you only own 2 acres of land. You have nothing else. What about
his asshole erupted?
Oh God! You only have 2 acres of land. Yeah, I'm going to put a box stand and put corn because otherwise I can't kill shit. You know.
Because guess what? Every other fucking Jim Bob and Bob Dick are fucking doing the same thing.
Yeah.
There's 1,000 piles of corn in Union Parish on one acre.
And here's the funny thing is that a lot of times they don't give a fuck about the corn. Especially in the beginning, if there was plenty of acorns to grow around, they don't give a fuck about corn.
Throw some sweet taters out there.
Sweet taters will come to it.
They cut some sweet taters up.
They like sweet taters?
Anything will eat a sweet tater. I'll eat a sweet tater. Would you please stop shitting yourself?
Hassel, stop.
It's so bad, man.
It's so gross. God
damn.
Where
are we at time-wise? We got to be closing up.
We should have about 20 minutes left, but I'll look. And, we got 10 minutes.
Okay. 10 minutes left.
God damn.
Sorry, man. I don't know what the fuck. What the fuck? Sorry. So the Saints looked shitty today, but still pulled out a win, I guess.
They won by 30 fucking points. But somehow...
You can't say today was any kind of metric, you know, measure and stick. We are not ready to face the best teams in the NFL right now. Our defense is.
We face the Chiefs next week. No, we play the Chiefs next week.
No,
we play the Falcons.
We play the Falcons. And then we got week 14 is the Chiefs, right?
I think we have four
Falcons,
losing teams
left. We got the Panthers
left.
One more time,
we have
right?
The Eagles.
I cannot remember the schedule. But
the Falcons again and the Panthers again also.
We got the Falcons again.
Falcons
and then
next.
Yes. I mean, technically.
Falcons, Eagles, then Chiefs.
Yes. But we're not – they're projecting Drew Brees could be back for the Chiefs, but I completely and totally doubt that.
That's going to be a very close game.
Okay, here's the good thing is if we can win the next – let's see. We have 1, 2, 3,
but
four,
here's the
five.
Thing. The Falcons are not going to be an easy game.
No, they're not. I think we can beat the Eagles, and I think we can beat the Panthers. They're very winnable games, but we need to win them.
Who's our last game?
Carolina. Falcons, Eagles, Chiefs, Vikings, Panthers.
We always
close out with the Panthers.
Yeah. Do we? Most of the time we do.
Almost every year I've ever watched.
Yeah, most of the year we close out at home with the Panthers, or away for the Panthers.
Yeah. They
alternate years. Yeah. Well.
That's still going to be weak sauce compared to the ass fat that I've just got coming out of my ass.
I was kind of disappointed in that fart, to be honest with you.
You should be. It's barely a monster.
I was hoping
fart.
For like a blah, 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 blah.
It's very loose.
Where are you going, Drew? Don't. Did you fucking get
it? He tried.
My chair didn't rotate. I was trying to get up. I was trying to give you a good one.
Can we end this podcast now?
No, we got a few minutes.
5 minutes.
So this was from earlier this year.
Jesus Christ! Oh my God!
That one is, you know the name
weird,
of that one?
This is the weird part of the weird but harmless. This shit's not harmless.
You know what the name of that particular recording is?
What?
First Turkish Diarrhea.
Play the, I think it's Basil's. Play the Basil.
No, I'm not playing that. That's enough of that shit. Oh, shit. What does that say?
First Turkish Diarrhea.
I sent that to you January 3rd, 2020. I hit turkey, and it was fucking like a goose.
And turkey hit
I
you.
Like, I shit like a goose for at least 3 days. Like, I remember I was walking around somewhere, and luckily, Turkey has a lot of, they have a lot of public bathrooms, and I was fucking, and here's the worst part.
You were just walking
most
going,
of the public bathrooms, aww. They have the squat toilets.
Yeah.
Not sit-down toilets.
Not the Western toilets.
Like the Eastern toilets where you got to take your pants off and stick your ass over a fucking hole.
Yeah.
And talking about, like, I had to be careful because I was blowing out so much water out of my ass, shit water, that I make sure it didn't, like, fucking splash and hit my legs and shit.
There's not like a water, like a, I don't want to say a water hose, but like basically a hose to hose you off.
Yes, there is. There is.
Oh, then you should have just let loose, man.
It's so uncomfortable. If there's anything that I am like, I can go live, be in the woods, make a fire, eat crappy food. I can survive all that shit. But as soon as I got to go take a shit in the woods or take a shit like anywhere that's not a regular squat crapper toilet, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
I took a shit under a bridge last year.
I took a shit on a tree in Williams, Arizona, right outside the Grand Canyon. There was no denying it. And I had to go. I went and took a bath in a river reservoir, a water reservoir right next to where I was shitting. I just jumped in. I didn't have but like a little bit of TP, and I was just like, "Fuck it!" I'm walking down the hill, buck naked. I walked down the hill and jumped in the water and swam and cleaned myself. It was terrible.
Okay, here's a public service announcement, real quick. If you ever need to shit, you can use the river water to clean your ass.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the cleanest, but it's a little more sanitary than not using any water. However, there is a small but subtle difference between shitting into water and shitting in the water. So I may have pooped in the river, but yeah, something swam up my asshole and got me sick. Because
like really bad sick,
yes,
too.
Because when water goes into your stomach, it goes through the acid and has a lot of shit to get through before it can affect you. Well, when it goes up your butthole, it's just like breached the walls and like the hordes of whatever just killed all my fucking citizens in my city. Also known as my butthole.
Your butthole city. Well, actually, your colon absorbs a lot of liquid. So when it went straight in there, you absorbed it way faster and more directly than it would be through your stomach bleeding.
And it did not take long to feel like death.
Yeah, yeah, that happens. That happens. And by the way, said feces on the tree in Arizona, I was sent this picture of a tree with shat all over it and a little TP that said, "We had a problem."
And you know, here's the thing. You don't realize how much that little bit of water in your toilet dissipates a lot of that smell.
Oh, absolutely.
Because as soon as you take a shit, it fucking hits you like a brick wall.
I took a shit at his old house one time after he had moved out. We were riding around, and I had to go. And, like, I had to go. And we pulled up to his old house when you lived off of with Raheem. Anyway, and I went in the backyard and grabbed, like, a newspaper that was sitting on the ground and just, I'm not proud of what I did, but I did. Had to go, man. It was bad. It was real bad.
Oh, real bad. So last year I was crawfish.
Okay. And now the poop stories.
Yeah, I was crawfishing. And I was like, I got a shit, but I don't think I can make it 2 miles up the road to that fucking gas station. So underneath this bridge, you couldn't see anything. So no one was going to be able to see anything. So I went underneath there, and I noticed one thing. I wasn't the first pilgrim to land on that rock. I noticed. I was like, okay, I'm joining the tribe. So I figured out what they did. They kind of put their back on the wall and just kind of squatted down.
It was just,
and
just
you know what?
Rows of shit down the walls.
And I noticed one thing. When you shit that way, I think you evacuate your bowels much more proficiently. Because it just fell out. As soon as I gave way my sphincters.
You have a ligament that actually pulls against the bottom part of your colon.
Right.
Right above your anus. And have you ever heard of the squatty potty?
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah, that's the thing. You sit in the certain position, and it's supposed to relax. You're supposed to be relaxed, and that's probably exactly what happened. You hit an angle, and it was the angle of pleasure.
It's just, he goes, I go.
what was that?
Blah.
It just fell out of me like a fucking owl. People always say.
What you being quiet for, Tim?
Don't have any poop stories.
You got any poop stories, Tim? Let's hear some poop stories.
And why is it when you see the porcelain white, it's fucking, it's like, your body's like, I'm ready.
Your body's like, go! Go!
I'm like,
go!
I didn't travel 2 miles just to shit my pants three feet from the fucking.
That leads me to another question, though. Is how We used to have this all the time at my last job. How does someone spray feces over the back part of the toilet and possibly up under on the seat itself? How is that physically possible? Like, is the angle they're not even sitting down? Like, I don't understand.
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
That's true.
Some people just want to watch it burn.
Let's see. I think I deleted it, but let's see if I can find it. I was in Turkey. No, I was in the airport in Turkey, and I noticed that everyone was not using a certain stall. Let's see if I can find it. And once you see it, you'll understand. You'll understand completely. Y'all keep the conversation going while I find this.
So, Tim, how are things?
You know, they're good right now, sir. Thank you for asking.
Good, good, good. I noticed you haven't spoke much.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I don't know what they were doing.
Oh, my God. That's
in the airport. And someone poor soul had to clean
somebody
that.
Somebody didn't make it. Somebody didn't make it.
I know. What the fuck happened?
Was it a pterodactyl? He just flew by?
I guess. All right. We're going to have to go here in a second, but I'm going to leave you with this story. So, yes, I do have hemorrhoids. Sorry. And it causes me to bleed sometimes. Anyways, I went to an airport in Qatar, which is a small little island nation or peninsula nation in the Middle East. I went to the bathroom. I accidentally, I pooped. But unfortunately, with all the blood, there was a lot of blood on the toilet. So wiped, I left, came back because I realized I dropped my passport somewhere. So I came to find it. And there was security there. And they were concerned because of all the blood that was in the toilet. And I told them I was looking for my passport.
Someone had been murdered. Your
and
anus.
This guy from somewhere in West Africa, had a West African asking, he's like, what happened in there? And I was like, I don't know. Anyways, I think we're about time. Tim, anything else to say?
Nah.
All right. Basil, Drew, anything for y'all to say?
Goodbye.
Drew?
Hasta la wiggle.
All right. Y'all have fun and make sure... you get the toilet in time. All right, and we are done.